that I have here for local announcements. Before we go into the message, well, for a message here this morning, as most of us are aware, today is our nation recognizes today as Father's Day. And I knew for a little while already that I was going to have to preach on Father's Day. And I thought surely there'd be some type of inspiration that would come, but it seemed like the closer we got there this week, I wasn't sure what to preach about on Father's Day. Maybe it's because I'm a father, a relatively young father. Or maybe it's because I don't feel that I do a very good job always at being a father. Or maybe it's because I am like most men who don't care too much for the fuss that is made over them on Father's Day. But yet I did realize, and I feel that it is very important that we talk about fathers and the role that fathers fill. Because the fathers carry a very large responsibility for our families and in our homes. The Bible also talks a lot about fathers, has a lot to say. It's mentioned many times throughout the Bible about fathers and what they're to do. Talks of some good fathers, some fathers who didn't do so well at doing their job or being a father. It's interesting, as I studied, that the Bible only mentions mothers in the Bible is about 363 times, but fathers are spoken of over 1,300 times. The father was intended to be in the image of God the Father, the high priest of his home, the king, the judge, the counselor, the provider, the avenger of wrong. And my title of this morning of my message is Examples of Our Father. I know these are some big shoes to fill, but we're somewhat called to be an example of who God is in our homes and to our families. We are to represent God to our children. And as I studied and as I read different stories and different quotes or different stories in the Bible and other writings, what really stuck out to me was how that, you know, children have memories of their fathers, and time and again it was not the memories of the money they left them or the businesses they left them, but they talked about the memories they had with their dads and what their dads stood for, dads of integrity. Those were the things that stuck out. And just in a lot of different stories I read, they remembered back of things that their dad would have done with them, and I think most of us here this morning can remember that too. That what sticks out in our mind of our dads is the time they spent with us. I just want to quote from a book that I was reading some out of. There has been a sad erosion in America of the authority and the honor and the responsibility which fathers have borne in the past. Once a father approved or disapproved the marriage of his sons as well as daughters, and oft-times arranged it. But many things have tended to take away from the glory and the authority of the fathers. The feminist movement, the rebellion of wives, and all these have minimized the role of the father. Godless psychologists have taught that corporal punishment of children is wrong, that every teenager should plan his own life for or against drugs and alcohol, tobacco, and sex and immorality, as he likes. Politicians have hopes to get the vote of the radical left by giving the votes to the teenagers. So God's place for fathers as a high priest of a family, as a judge, as a ruler, provider, and guide has been eroded all for the worse in America. But we should remember that in God's plan, fathers are the glory of their children. Children are very largely what their fathers make them. Every man who is here this morning should seek to become a rule, to become a model and a leader in his home. So I beg you, make sure your family lives for God and your children are taught and disciplined and prayed for, that they may trust God and become solid Christians themselves. But what if you have failed to be all this in your home? Come to Jesus, trust him, and be saved. Get into a church every time the door is open, and let your children see you living a new life before him. Pray every day for God to make you a new and better father. Also, in Psalms 27, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And it is true that our society has changed a lot when it's on its view of the fathers. The father in days gone by was the leader of the home, was the one who was respected, was looked up to, held a lot of authority. And we know that there's been a lot of erosion in that area, a lot of downplaying of who the father is. Oftentimes in society around us, the dad is made fun of or viewed as the loser in the family. And it's against God and what he has asked us as fathers to be. And because of this downplaying of fathers, I think it has kind of worked in two ways. There's been this downplaying, and then fathers become more lackadaisical and don't step up because they're not asked to or not viewed of having to do that. And so it kind of feeds on each other, and it's a downward spiral. So my encouragement to each of us here this morning is that we as fathers need to step up and be men of leaders. We need to be the provider in the home, the guide of our home, the high priest of our family, one who gives direction, one who is there to give some guidance. Also, our upbringing is no excuse for how we will raise our family. Just as God is our father, we are to copy him and what we see from him and try to portray that the best we can to our children. How we relate and respond to our children has a large bearing on how they will someday view God. And I think that's the point that struck home to me as I study this too, that it's so important, and that's kind of the weight that fell on my shoulders as I studied this, is how we relate and respond to our children will greatly affect how they view God. And I think many of us have seen situations where if there maybe was an angry father in a home and they view God through those eyes, or a critical father, or God, or a father who is more works oriented, or you have to work in order to have his love. And that's not who God is. So I know this is a very high calling for us as fathers this morning, but God does give us the strength that we need. Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I had that verse in my notes before we had that discussion in Sunday school lesson. Can we be perfect? Or what does it mean by that? And I would be into having more discussion after the service on that as well. But trying to attain to perfection, or doing the best that we can with God's help, because that's what we need to do. The first point I have here of how to be these examples of our Father is a father should leave a good example to his children. The idea of this is that our lives are leaving an example to our children. There's just no way we can get around that. No way that we can somehow go through life and not leave an example behind us. Some examples are good. Some are not so good. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. And as I thought about Solomon's writings here in Proverbs, it always impresses me in Proverbs how Solomon writes as if he's writing to his son or daughter, to his children. And he has a lot of, he was, as we know, the wisest man there was. And so he had a lot of good instructions that he wrote down. Now we know that his life did not always match up to what he wrote, especially in his later years. But it's very good, practical things that I think we as a father can read across. We could read the whole book of Proverbs, but especially here in chapter 20, we can read this and just, I want to just pull out a few different things that we should can apply to our lives. The chapter itself is packed with things that help us to be a good example. But back in Proverbs 1, verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And that's how he opens up this book of Proverbs. Hear the instruction of thy father. Fathers, this morning, we need to be doing this, passing it on. Maybe we're not writing it down in a book form, but are we telling our children, son, daughter, here's a few things you need to know about life. This will make your life easier. It's kind of some rules that you need to follow if you want to have a decent life. I want to take the time to read chapter 20. And just think, as I go through this, just think about, again, this as a father telling his son, here are some things that you should consider. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eye. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doing, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, that thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take this garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whosoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. And I will cease reading there. So Solomon was writing out this instruction to his son and telling him that here was a few things that he should consider, a few things that he should know. And what the verse that stuck out a lot to me was, there was verse 7, "The just man that walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." Integrity, a man of integrity. And I think that's what we, all of us fathers here this morning, desire to be. A father of integrity. And as I looked it up in the Webster Dictionary, it says the quality or state of being complete or undivided. As if you think too, in James 1:8, it teaches us that a double-minded mind is unstable. So somebody who is of integrity, a father of his, who is of integrity, is undivided. He is not double-minded. He's not unstable. Also, you could look in Matthew 6:24, where it talks about you cannot serve two masters. Again, the thought of not being divided. We cannot serve two different people, because that displays to the children the concept of loyalty and obedience. If we serving only one person is the concept of loyal and obedience. True leadership is having the integrity to practice what you preach and do what you say you will do. As we just go down through here, a number of things that Solomon said or wrote down that just sticks out to me. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Just practical teaching. Then also you go to verse 4, where it talks about somebody who is Jewing somebody down for a better deal, then goes away bragging or boasting of what he has gotten. Also, verse 17, it talks about deceit and how it is sweet for the moment, but afterward it tastes terrible. It's not desirable. His mouth shall be filled with gravel. Verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Divers weights are an abomination of the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and their throne is upholden by mercy. Again, talking about how does a king last, or somebody in authority, how are they going to last? It says mercy and truth is what will preserve them. I like that thought there too, and I thought that was a good thing that we as fathers can grasp too, to be a father of mercy and truth. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of older men is the gray head. You know, the society around us brags up young men and strength, but then it also goes on to say that there's beauty in the older men as well, and the gray head, the wisdom, the knowledge that comes along with it. Just many, many things that we too need to pass these on to our children, and we need to instill it in our children that here's what God's word says, that even though society may say one thing or try to convince you to do something, come back to this here, because this is God's word. This is truths that come from his word, that if you want we so easily can be deceived by society around us and think that, let's say verse 29, that think that strength and young man is what we need to attain to. But yet he's saying there's more to that. There's also, you have to think about wisdom and other things that come along with that. So fathers should leave a good example. They should pass it on by teaching them, by talking to them, by telling them these things. As I said before, you will leave an example. What example are you leaving to your children? The second point to have is a father should love his children unconditionally. And I just wanted to turn to Luke chapter 15, to the story here that Jesus told. It's a story of a father, and he had his two sons. We all know it fairly well. But I was just impressed with how this father dealt with his sons. And it was a parable that Jesus told, and so it was to teach a lesson. And so he was trying to teach the lesson of how God deals with us as his children or his sons. And I think it can also teach us that this is how we are to deal with the children that he has given us. Luke chapter 15, and I just want to read verses 1 and 3. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. And I'm going to jump over the first two stories here. But just think too, as Jesus was saying this, He was surrounded by scribes and Pharisees that were murmuring, and the reason they were murmuring is because he was eating with sinners. He was associating with somebody who was lost, somebody who was not doing or living a life that was free of sin, not living a life that the scribes and Pharisees thought they should have, and these people should have been living that life. But yet, as we know, the scribes and Pharisees were very critical, and they wanted to only associate with people who were clean, at least appeared clean on the outside, in order to not mar their own reputation. But here Jesus was eating with these sinners, and so he went on to tell this story, starting in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am I no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore come his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I could make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive, and was lost and is found. A very beautiful story of a father's love. And what I take out of this story that is, no matter whatever your children do, we're asked to never stop loving them. Let them know that no matter what wrong they have done, they will always be welcome to come back home if they're sorry for what they have done. I believe that's what Jesus was, some ways, was trying to teach here in this story to the scribes and the Pharisees, that a sinner, yes, has wandered away, but a sinner was always welcome back. A son of God can always come home. In this story, the father could have a lot of reasons to have held his sons at arm's length. Just think, too, he had taken half of his father's goods, and it said that he divided unto them his living. It was his life's work of what he had accumulated. This father, he gave half of it to his two sons, and then this son went away and used it unwisely. But so this father could have had a lot of reasons to say, well, yes, you can come back, but you're going to need to prove yourself first. You're going to need to prove you're sorry for what you have actually done. Let me give you a little time. You can live here. And when I see that you're sorry, then we can talk about it again. No, this father welcomed him back with open arms because he was still his son. No matter what he had done, he was still welcome home. I'm sure this father did not enjoy seeing his son go out and carelessly spend his father's hard-earned money. Because that is the kind of thing that drives a wedge between people. Because it hurts. It had to hurt when this was given as a gift to his son, and then it was wasted. Because he had worked many years to accumulate these things. And I know my own human tendency. When our children do something that hurts me, do something that ruins or costs some money, that maybe ruins something around the house, do I have love for them? Is there love there, or do I become angry at them? In the same way, we hurt God when we disobey him and do our own thing. We have to think too, again, this is the examples of our Father. We hurt our Father in the same way that sometimes our children hurt us, and I would say probably to a larger degree than our children will ever hurt us. But yet God welcomes us back with open arms. Do we do that with our own children? Or do they have to measure up to some sort of a standard before we will take them back? God takes us back as his children just because we are his children. Make sure that your children know your love for them does not have to be earned. That you always love them, no matter what they do or where they go, they can always come back. My third point is, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And that's taken from Ephesians 6:4. Just one verse there I will not read. All right, we don't need to turn there, but I'll read it here. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. My challenge for this point is, do not do things that make your children angry. It's okay to play and tease, but most of us know where the line is, that if we cross the line and just making them upset or disliking us, don't be hurtful to your children. Because sometimes your children will not show it on the outside, but inside there becomes, over time, there can become this hatred for parents. And then we wonder why a teenager leaves home with rebellion, goes out and does his own thing, and we find out later on it was maybe a father or a parent in the home that had provoked his children to wrath. It's very sad when we as fathers can be the culprit of turning our children away from us and from God. No, the children are still responsible for their own actions, but are we doing what it takes to show them love and not provoking them to wrath? Also, as we think about discipline, be careful not to spank out of anger. Wait until you've cooled off and then explain to them why you're disciplining them and show them your love through it all. Your children will not be provoked to wrath if you discipline them in that way. 1 John 4, and I think it's the desire of all of us as fathers here this morning, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's the desire of each of us this morning, is that our children would follow after God and Christ. And we as fathers need to do all we can to aid them, to help them, to walk alongside them, to teach and train. But we need to do it in loving and gentle ways. Fourthly, it's the latter part of that same verse, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You can ask, what does this mean? What do you think of when you think of nurture and admonition? As I said before, it's living in a life that is an example, and I believe that is nurture and admonition. Our children will see how we handle life, and they will pick up along the way. What they pick up along the way will greatly mold who they grow up to be. We all know of fathers and sons, and you can look at them, and sometimes you say, "Well, he acts just like his dad. He talks just like his dad." Or maybe it's a younger boy who's trying to imitate his father. that can be a good thing. It can be a wonderful thing. If the father is a godly father and then his son comes along imitating what he sees in his father, it's a beautiful thing. But it also can be a negative thing that we pick up the negativities of our father. It just shows that, to myself, it shows the importance of that every moment of every day and our response is very important as we go through life. Also, we think of nurture and admonition. I think, too, of just like if you're in the garden and you're planting, or those are farmers, how do you nurture the plants that you plant? Well, you make sure the ground is right. You make sure that there's enough fertilizer there, that the weeds stay away. If you're in a garden, you maybe water. In some areas, you irrigate. Because that's what it takes. We know what it takes. We know what we need to put in to nurture, to get this thing to grow up to what we want to be. The same way as with our children. Are you putting in what it takes to help them grow, to help them thrive and survive? Bible stories, songs, Bible readings in our home are very important. Just as you nurture a plant, you water and cultivate it. Those are the things that need to be put into a child's life in order for them to grow up to be what Christ wants us to be. And right hand in hand with that is time at church. We all tend to do this without giving it much thought, but constantly taking our young children to church, we're teaching them something. We're teaching them more than just the lessons that or the Bible stories they hear here, but it also teaches them of our dedication to God and to the church body. It's another way that I believe is a nurturing and admonition for our children. Just a few verses here in closing for encouragement to fathers and ways of being an example is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Again, if we honor our parents, more than likely our children who follow us will follow that example. And it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Just as a young tree can be molded at a young age, our children are very moldable as young children. And as we train them, as we nurture them, if we give them the right nutrients at a young age, it will help them to grow up to be strong and healthy. Psalms 103:13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord hath pity on them that fear him. Again, passing an example of who God is, we are to portray that to our children. In closing, a quote that I came across, to be in your child's memory tomorrow, you have to be in their lives today. Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.